Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have with me again, Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, how are you?
Right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do this. Today, we're going to talk about Stargate Universe, you know, my favorite show. But first, we're going to start with some Caprica news. Now, we know that the show got canceled abruptly. I mean, it was just stabbed in the heart and left to bleed in the street. But to add insult to injury, Carl, what they're going to do is on January 4th, they're going to air the remaining 5 unaired episodes all in one dump.
Oh.
Somebody really wanted to murder this show bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first, we weren't going to get it until January. Then somebody said, you know, screw it. We want it now. They gave it to us now. Then the ratings weren't doing so well. They said, we're canceling it. Not only are we canceling it, you're not going to see the rest of those shows. Oh, you get to see them, but it'll be in January. And then yesterday we hear that, if you want to see them, you got to catch them all in one night because we want to be done with it. Like, what is that?
The decisions behind how they have treated Caprica, you have no idea what they are thinking. You try to give them some kind of strategy. You try to put over, well, maybe they're about the money. Maybe they're trying to cancel the show. There is no rationality behind how they have treated Caprica in terms of what night it's on, when people are going to be able to watch it.
It's just seem mean-spirited. I mean, what is going on here?
The biggest thing about science fiction shows, especially these days, is that they take commitment from the fans. You know, when a series comes out, we already know science fiction is sort of like the broadcast underdog to start with, even on the quote supposed sci-fi channel. Mm. We know that our show is already on the bubble at broadcast, you know, at on pilot time. So we as fans have got to try to engage our emotional energy and you know, sort of cut our losses. Like, is this something that I am willing to invest my time and my excitement, my passion into? Because, you know, we sci-fi fans, we're dedicated to our shows. We really get into them. We like to research the history and the motivations. We get into that kind of stuff. So, of course, we want to make sure that the show that we are starting all of this, including, quote, franchising, if I'm going to put together a uniform or a costume, it'd be nice if the show was still on by the time the convention rolled around. You know, so I'm just saying, from the fan side of this, you may be, you know, the broadcasters are producing these shows and they want people to watch them and they want fans to be excited about it. But there has got to be a certain level of trust between the people who are making the show and the fans who are watching it, because if they put out a show that we like, we don't want to constantly be living on the edge of our seats going, are they going to take away something that we've liked? And especially on the Sci-Fi Channel, we got to lean into new shows when it comes on. Because, like, okay, I don't know if it's going to be good or not. So, you know, that's the first. We know that in the first 8 minutes of the program, if it's going to be a good show or not. And then if it's got potential, is it worth us investing our emotional energy in to try to support and to watch this show when we know that the execs behind it are just sitting there counting dollars, counting Biden time, and they're going to cancel the one show that we were actually passionate about? They put us in an awkward situation where they say, well, we put Caprica out there, and the fans weren't that interested in it. The whole premise behind the show was odd to start with.
Yeah.
It's like, are you trying to reach the old Galactica crew? But if you are, it's got none of the war stuff in it. It's got none of the starships in it. It's got none of that stuff. Already you're asking your fan base to try to take a leap of faith with you, and the show hasn't even aired yet. Then we saw how sci-fi, you know, has treated series in the past. So even Galactica at times, we were like, what are they doing with Galactica? Why? So our fans, again, well, okay, we're going out on one limb to try to support a new kind of show. We're fans of Galactica, but okay, it's not the Galactica, you know, it's not Galactica Prime. We're going to try to do this. Already, you got us out on a ledge trying to embrace Caprica. You put out something that was a quality product. Fans are, you know, we're waking up with somebody, we're pulling in our friends, we're starting to go, oh, this is actually pretty good. It's different, but it's, we start to rally the forces around it. We start to get a little bit of momentum behind it. And then, bam, you change the night. Oh, then it's something else. Oh, then you give us a 6-month, 9-month hiatus. And then why would you think that you're going to be able to build a fan base behind good science fiction when you constantly cut us off at the knees, you frighten us as fans, you make us feel tricked and deceived at each turn. So, I mean, and then they go, well, the fans just weren't there to support it. Are you kidding me? Really? You know, you have no idea why fans are having problems with these modern shows. So, I don't understand the strategy. When science fiction is not like Glee, or it's not like a lot of these other parts.
Maybe we should have a science fiction musical in space.
Well, you know, it's Dr. Horrible, but it's it.
No, it's not on regular TV, but okay.
Right. But go on, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Caprica's canceled. I would like to point out that Haven has not been canceled.
Of course
not. I don't know who watches
that. Boring as hell, and it's $9 to produce. So that's going to be on forever.
And not to be ragging on that show, but I just find it amazing that. What? And then some people like Daryl, I don't know if you met him or not, but he loves that show and he can't get Caprica. And to me, he's living in bizarro land because mm-hmm. I don't get it. But the first half of the first season, I loved it. I loved the TV movie. I don't know. And you're right about us having to go out on a limb to like this show. We really had to open up our minds and accept it for what it was. And, you know, once you got there, it wasn't a bad show at all.
It was very different. It was very different. And
it was different in a good way, unlike some other of the new shows, you know, that still haven't gotten canceled that we will get to later. But I couldn't even get upset. I couldn't even be bothered. I mean, I tweeted, retweeted some of the Save Caprica campaigns, but I can't get motivated to get behind it because it already feels useless.
Of course.
It already feels useless. So
we were trying to save Caprica while it was on.
Yeah.
So we're tired now.
Yeah, I'm tired. Plus, they've already said, well, you know, we got this new thing where we're going to do, it's a prequel still, but it's going to be between Caprica and Battlestar Galactica. So it's going to be more war. It's going to be like Hurt Locker and blah. And I was like, okay.
See, already, once again, you see how they are banking on a sort of patience and acceptability from the fans. They are counting on some sort of a connection and trust that, okay, we're going to set it in the universe, but just a slightly different time than the other ones. And it's not going to be like the previous shows. It's going to be something different. We are supposed to trust them with this property. We're supposed to invest our time in this new series that they're spinning up, literally as they're canceling the old one. And that is the kind of emotional investment, once again, they're asking us to get into. Why should we? Why should we believe?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
but you know what? They know we're suckers. They know we're going to watch. So, I mean, what do you do?
But see, here's the thing. Don't you think fans are starting to get a little bit jaded in general?
Oh,
I mean,
I'm Jay. Don't you hear? I'm Jay. I'm green.
I mean, because look, and we are the optimists, honestly, of a lot of
these. Especially you. I mean, yeah. My God, you still defend heroes.
Heroes had a chance. It could have been saved. But anyway. So obviously, you've got passionate people who want to go here, but if you keep putting it in the hands of folks that don't know how to respect what the fans bring to a series and what that stuff means to the fans, there will come a time when the fans are like, look, this is ridiculous. We're just not going to trust you anymore. We're not going to trust you to handle our
profits. I don't think these people have souls. I think they have black hearts made of coal that has no juice in it left whatsoever. They just emotionally
they're network executives. but see, the thing is, and like I'm trying to point out that science fiction is a unique kind of property. You can make
everybody hates it for some reason.
Well, no, not
it seems
that.
Like everybody hates it, then they want it to die, and I can't understand the hostility towards science fiction. Like,
the reason that, okay, first of all, science fiction fans are smart, all right? If you were if you're a network
executive, some of these people,
if you're a network executive, you want to pump a product. You don't really care what the product is. You want it to be cheap, you want it to be plentiful, you want it to be easy to make. And you want to be able to syndicate it and just pump it out. You don't really care what it is that you're making, just as long as you're making your numbers and you're getting that stuff out there. If you care about series, I firmly believe you cannot be a network executive because you just don't make the numbers. But the problem behind that is science fiction is a very unique kind of property. Like I'm saying, I'm trying to get this point across, is that it has a concept of arcs, where it takes time to get involved with it. You literally build an alternate view of reality. You build another planet, another universe, another starship or whatever. So you have to build all of that. You have to define what that universe is and the rules that are within that universe. Then you have to get to know the people, the characters. Then you have to start to understand the culture and then the story. That stuff takes time. So, and science fiction fans expect that. And we're smart enough to enjoy that kind of stuff. But it takes time to ramp up and to get that kind of inertia going. If you
and research and you just can't, you know, stick some Jersey kids in front of a camera. And
so if you're used to creating a product that is, you know, standalone, one show after another, no connection between it, instant sugar candy, you know, gratification kind of thing, to stick around and expect a Coming of Shadows, which is a culmination of 3 years worth of arcs, to expect that kind of following to converge on, you know, episode 3 of a series that you've only bought 6 of, and you know, and then to think that the fans are just going to rally around behind this and invest their time in it's a different kind of property. You have to respect that before you even sign up for trying to put together science fiction. If you don't understand that, you're just pissing everybody off and you disappoint your fan base and you're not going to get the results that you want. It takes time to build up this kind of stuff. But they it's just like, I mean, this is simple. How come they don't know this? Or if they do know this, why don't they give sci-fi a little bit more time and a little bit more respect in terms of what it takes to deliver the product?
Dude,
it ain't Glee.
Dude, we have this outburst every 3 months. Every 3 months, you and I have the same conversation. I don't have the answer. Caprica is gone. And this is the worst that I've ever seen them treat a show. Really?
Especially one that was really this quality. I mean, you know, if it was something that was crappy, if it was something that was crappy, you can kind of see the network trying to back away from it over time and whatnot. I understand this one was expensive, but it was getting the critical acclaim and it was starting to grow in terms of, you know, the storylines were starting to get a little bit better. We were starting to bring back those people that initially had left Capricorn. In the beginning, you know, maybe it was kind of good. And then they kind of went down for a while. And then it crescendoed with the finale. And then the opening was down. I mean, it was this inconsistency that made it a little hard for new folks to get engaged with. But, well, guess we'll never know. Guess we'll never know.
The remaining 5 episodes are being shown in foreign markets. You can get them on BitTorrent. I don't suggest you do that. It's illegal. I haven't seen them yet. From what I hear, you know, some people say these next 5 episodes are, you know, going to make the network regret that they canceled it. Some people say, you know, they're glad Caprica's gone because it made no sense even with the extra 5. So there's mixed results or mixed feelings on the final 5 episodes. But at this point, I'm tired and I don't, it's not that I don't care. It's just, I can't get outraged at what sci-fi does anymore. I mean, I got outraged at Farscape and I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Another piece of bad news, or maybe it's bad news, we don't really know. Fringe has been moved to Fridays.
Well, what time on Fridays?
I'm not really sure what time on Fridays, but it was on Thursdays, which was a very, very competitive day for TV. I mean, every show that is a show is on Thursdays for some reason or another. And for them to take Fringe off and put it on Fridays, well, you know, sci-fi is on Fridays. We have Supernatural, we have Sanctuary, we have Smallville, and now we'll have Fringe. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Yeah. Well, let's...
change is bad when it comes to science fiction show lineup nights. Just change.
Well, they
is bad.
Changed it before because it wasn't on a different night before. Didn't it start out on Fridays or something? I'm not really sure.
I can't remember, but yes, this is the second time they. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Fringe another time, because. Right now today, this is mainly a Stargate Universe episode. And I stopped watching, I think, 5 episodes once. I don't know when I stopped watching, but Carl, again, dude, I'm gonna change my phone number because you keep sending me texts telling me to watch crazy crap. And so Carl, you know, sent me this urgent text talking about you gotta watch Stargate Universe. So, you know, for whatever reason, I still trust his judgment. I said, okay, fine, I'll dig in and I'll watch this stuff. Why did you have me watch it? Because I'm there? Because I've seen everything.
There were two episodes in particular.
Yeah, and
because you and I had both left Stargate. You and I had both left. Unfortunately, we left just prior to the Day of the Triffids slash wedding episode. Mm-hmm. Which was the culmination of everything that is awful about Stargate Universe. We had both left just before that, and a couple of my friends who watch SGU know my feelings about the series, and they insisted that I watch
is happening? So what you have this group of evil friends who make you watch stuff, and then you spread the evil to me. See,
listen.
I'm nice enough to let the evil stop with me. I don't spread it. I don't make other people watch it. It stops with me.
All right.
But you spread it.
Listen.
Do you like to see other people suffer, Carl?
I want to talk to you about two episodes of SGU. What was it? The Greater Good and Malice. Those were the two episodes that they told me to watch. And that I asked you to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, compared to the other SGU episodes, what did you think they did well? And what did you think they did not do well?
They're all a blur because I watched them in one sitting, I think.
Yeah.
They kind of all fall together. You know, Robert Nepper needs a hug. I think he needs to play a positive role for at least a year. Like, maybe three. Because, dude, it's just scary evil all of the time. He's just this crazy wackadoo every time. And now he's dead. Spoiler alert. After the fact. But Rush's girlfriend came back. The lady he likes that was in the wheelchair. And somehow, you know, Nepper killed her. Which in turn killed the lady that Eli was in love with.
Yes.
And both Rush and Eli were cranky scientists, and they wanted to go on revenge to kill Nepper. Why am I supposed to? I don't know. I don't know why I'm supposed to be excited. These were okay episodes. I'm going to talk. Just tell me what you want me to know, and I'll see if I'll agree with you.
Here's what I know, because, you know, I am a real big fan of SGU for all of the reasons that we have discussed in the past.
Now, are you being facetious here? Or?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Because
yes,
I was like, wow, you said that with a straight.
well, you know, I'm still on medication right now, so this is going to be at half power. But I thought that those two episodes were the most watchable of all of SGU. Mm-hmm. All of the stuff that had been really, really bothering me about SGU was not in those episodes. They did not have a whole lot of Dawson's Creek musical montage, slow-mo closing endings.
Yeah.
They did not have story elements, the five story elements going on in the episode, going in totally different directions that at no point seemed to connect at all. Which is typical for SGU. They throw these sort of like emotional bombs in there that aren't like connected, or they're not woven together in a consistent way. They finally started pulling stuff together.
You know, I kind of felt that way too, Carl. For at some point in watching it, I was like, this is starting to feel like a show. This is starting to feel like something. So I'll have to agree with you that there was this one point in there, I'm not quite sure when, that it actually felt like something had came together.
These were two episodes. And so, yes, they actually had an arc that connected more than one episode together in a coherent way. I mean, let's just go down the list, because again, we have shared our feelings about SGU in the past, and what we have been through, you know, is valid. But I just wanted to point out, in these two episodes, so much of what it was that we took issue with did not occur. And so it is like, I don't know if they're getting a hint. I don't know if maybe they just let interns run the joint for a weekend or something. But these two episodes, finally, I mean, here's some radical concepts for a science fiction show. They kept it in space. All right, there was another spaceship in this. We had two spaceships. When they broke out the Ouija stone, you know, what you call the thing, and they sent Eli's girlfriend back to Earth. Guess what? We didn't go to Earth.
I thought we were going to have to go through the whole wheelchair thing and this. And I was like, oh, God, I'm not in the mood for this.
They didn't take us back to Earth. So I'm sitting here going, well, hang on now. We're actually staying in the spaceship. We're staying with the thrust of what's going on. Look at what was going on in Greater Good, the first one. Greater Good. You had Rush and what's the captain's name?
Dr. Young.
Yeah, thank you. Doctor, yeah. You had Rush and Young, and they have an established tension built between the two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, over in the past, they even crack a little joke on the way over where he says something like, I promise I won't leave him this time. I'll bring him back. Yeah, okay, you know, they're starting to pull together the elements that they've had in the past. The pacing was actually quite watchable for this one. It didn't drag. And the reason it didn't drag is because finally they started all of the different story elements. They started relating and they pulled them together in a coherent way. That was really the tension about finally we got to see that the rest of the crew found out about the bridge, how that occurred.
Oh, God.
Interesting. But it was interesting how SGU has this habit of rushing stuff and just throwing things at us in an incomplete way. Well,
you thought they was going to like walk the ship and be like, oh, look
at this. You know? Yeah. No, man. They had to bring girlfriend from Earth on board the ship, you know, and have her sneak in there with the code. That was well done in terms of the pacing and
clever.
How they.
I'm not gonna, you know, ooze all over it like you are, but it was clever.
This is a sliding scale. I'm just saying for SGU. So I was really surprised that, you know, the story elements, they had a reasonable tension going on between, you know, the captain and Rush. That was one dynamic. You had, you know, it felt a little bit more natural, the little romantic thing that was going on between Eli and Eli and Gin, I think was her name.
I think it was.
That was kind of, you know, kinda, it wasn't as rushed as what we've seen in the past.
I liked it, and I was like, oh, great. We're going to get an extra girl character that isn't Chloe. And, you know, we get to see Eli have some fun because Chloe gets on my damn nerve. Nope.
Yeah. And then, you know, the typical SGU way of taking folks out is they just kill them with no ceremony. And then we are supposed to, because we saw the death, we're supposed to know, oh, no, people are upset now, right? But they didn't do that this time. They actually, they had two kills in one. So they used the technology of science fiction to connect the two girlfriends in one death shot. And then, so, I mean, if you look at what's happening here, we have lost we've lost the one girl that had a little something going on with the scientists. Which, basically, that's the kind of trauma I can relate to. You know, the only girl that was giving the scientists a break here, and you lose them both in one shot in a science fiction way. Nobody choked her on the bridge. You know, how the tension that came up between Nepper and Gin, who's back on Earth, that sort of, he didn't care that it wasn't her, but he still wanted to get.
But it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up, because if you just kill somebody on the one side, how do they die on the other side? Wouldn't the thing just break, the connection just break, and they just come back into their body? Because that's what they always said, that if the connection breaks, you just come back to your body, you don't die. But they always hinted at maybe you might die, and this is the first time that somebody has actually died. So I'm not really sure how I feel about she's dead, the Russia's chick is dead in, on Earth after getting killed by Whatchadooly on the, because it doesn't make sense.
Well, just, I get, if you don't have a body to return to, that's gonna
well, did somebody kill her on Earth?
They said she was dead on Earth.
They said she was dead on Earth, but I don't understand how, if only Nepper killed her on the ship, how was her body dead? Because wouldn't the connection of the stones just break, she returned to her body, and only Gin be dead?
Well, that's what it would seem like. That's what it would seem like. But, you know, given the MacGuffin-esque technology that is SGU, I'll just let that.
You're letting it go. Okay.
Given everything else, I'll let it go.
Fine.
So I was surprised. I mean, it actually kind of looked like a science fiction show, finally, and that's what got my attention. I'm not gonna say it's the best thing out there. It's incredible, but so many of the concerns that I had expressed about what was wrong with SGU and what I really took issue with did not occur in those two episodes, and it looked like they're halfway trying.
It looks like they're halfway trying, and it came together more cohesively than Caprica was doing. Caprica was falling apart.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think they were bringing it back together. It was starting to come back together, yeah. But they did kind of take a little detour for a while, yeah. There. But so that's what I wanted you to see. That's what I was hoping you would notice, and then we would.
It wasn't as I guess profound for me or whatever. It's starting to feel like what it should have felt like, but
well,
it's still like
right. That is this is how it should have been from the start.
Yeah, this should have been like a filler episode. It should be more, you know, dynamic and action packed.
How about that? They shot guns. Stuff blew up.
There were dinosaurs or something running around.
We actually saw aliens and guess what? An actual Stargate on SG. We've gone like episodes without seeing a Stargate. It was just like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
No Gate Earth. That's what the show should have been called. We were just seeing people on Earth. No Stargate. They're just. So, yeah.
But they're on a ship and the ship has a Stargate. So if you see the ship, you see the Stargate because they are one.
No, that ain't.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Well,
I
didn't hate it as much. I wasn't confused. It felt like a show, and it felt like what it was supposed to be like. And I will say that in a marathon, I bonded with the characters a little bit more. And I noticed that when I do watch stuff in a marathon, that it's easier for me to like a show more because you're there, you know, constantly with the characters. And so I think that's why eventually it felt like they had something here. And not only that, the show got a little bit better post-wedding thing.
Yeah, wasn't that ridiculous? I'm afraid of what's coming next. I'm sure like the next episode, you know, we'll have the men and women will swap bodies on an exciting new episode.
Now they're gonna have it's. I don't know if it's the next episode, but soon they're gonna have an Atlantis crossover.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? Because we're gonna get Rodney McKay. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh no! But see, here's the thing. The thing we've always said is SGU does not feel like SG-1. Or Stargate Atlantis.
But it is always exciting when O'Neill comes on there. It feels a little bit better. Okay, no. It does not.
The feel of those shows are so different. I'm curious to see how
they're... Well, Tapping was on there before, and we kind of got excited at something. No. Wow, you are leaving me hanging today.
And I really am.
There's a skyline for you, and you're leaving me hanging. You know what?
No. It's kind of like when you see your grade school teacher at the mall, and you're like, oh, you know, it's something about the context clashes with them. It just doesn't quite feel right. That is how I have felt when I've seen Atlantis, or excuse me, Stargate SG-1 crew on Stargate. The whole context just didn't mesh, and they felt odd in there. So I want them to do it in an interesting way. I want to see. But look, I mean, come on, Atlantis was fun. McKay is funny. When has SGU been funny? How is that going to work? The whole show. No, I'm serious. You know, the whole show is literally dark compared to, you know, Atlantis.
Maybe they'll have Taylor on there. She's not funny.
Well, do you think that would help? I mean, we're trying to make things better here. So I don't think we should just match the darkness.
They should have, what's the dreadlock dude name?
Ronan.
Yeah, they should just have him on there and he not talk and then scene, because that would be fine for me.
Yeah, well, only person I think might be able to fit within the darkness of the SGU and universe is Rainbow Franks there. Bring him over there.
God.
I think that would work.
That guy. Him and what's his face with the afro would get into a... I don't know what they'd get into, but I don't know. I think they are going to have Rodney McKay on there. I think he could quite possibly, if they write this right, crack on them for being so serious. I would really love to see something like that, and then make the funny worth it.
Yeah, yeah, because he was one of my favorites from Atlanta, so you know it's always good to see him, but. I'm curious to see how the clash of context is going to work, because really there was a speed, a lightness, a comedy, and a fun to Atlantis that is not in it's not in SGU. It's just not there. So you know, it's like, you know, watching an episode of a movie and then all of a sudden Robin Williams shows up and you're like, uh-oh, is he going to be dramatic Robin Williams or is he going to be funny Robin Williams? What am I getting here? So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anything else on SGU?
No, you and I have talked about SGU. And all the
it's always been negative. Today, it's a little bit better.
We have talked about everything that's been wrong with SGU. So I just wanted to say, hey, finally, I'm seeing some stuff that's got glimmers of hope here. These are some things I really thought they did well. Right down to the OK Corral shootout between Rush and Nepper on the
dragon. Yeah. Where were they? Dinosaurs? Yeah,
the stampede, the Buffalo stampede in the West took them down.
Wild
West. Rush there with the gun. All I was missing was the tumbleweed rolling by, you know, a little whistling, good, bad, the ugly, where he's like, I've got valuable information. I don't think so. You know, I was like, oh, yeah. It was the cowboy hat.
That was great. He's like trying to negotiate at the last minute. That was so pathetic.
You go.
I didn't think they were going to kill him, though. But
The fact that we didn't know, again, give me something. I'm glad that we could not tell ahead of time what they were going to do. So that was better.
Actually, yeah. And I am impressed that they actually killed him and he's dead and it's over with. And then that's just that.
Yeah,
how awesome. Because it would not have happened on the Enterprise.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Everybody would have held hands. They sang Kumbaya and they would have taken him back to the ship.
Yep. And then he would cause more problems. Mm-hmm. And then it would have, I don't know, who knows. But yeah, so there's positivity there for
SGU.
Stargate Universe. And, you know, let's hope it doesn't get canceled. leave us a comment on scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet, scifipartyline. We're on Facebook as well. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.